This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day where there may be heartening news from the long-suppressed people of Cuba, which all believers in decency and faith in God, in basically civilization, should absolutely applaud. But at the same time, there are lots of different articles about the future of conservative Christianity in this country, what people call the evangelical right, which has been such a power in the United States, a dominant power, really, in the Republican Party for many years. Where is it going? No one has written about that more persuasively or with greater nuance or knowledge than my friend Dr. Al Mohler, who is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville. That is the flagship school of the Southern Baptist Convention, and it's one of the largest seminaries in the world. Al's most recent book, which I heartily recommend, it's a powerful read. It echoes Churchill very deliberately. It's called The Gathering Storm, Secularism, Culture, and the Church, and it's posted up at our website. Al, what is going on? I see two contradictory headlines from members of the mainstream legacy press. New York Times has a headline, Smaller, Angrier Christian Right. And then NPR, National Public Radio, has a headline, The Proportion of White Christians in the U.S. Has Stopped Shrinking, New Study Finds. Who's right?
Well, Michael, first of all, it's great to be back with you, dear friend. And I'll simply say, you know, the fact is that we both know how the media play the numbers game. And that's exactly what's going on here. And there's so many questions there. One has to do with the source of the numbers. Almost all of these stories right now are coming from a study that is entitled The American Religious Census 2020 from PRRI, the Public Religion Research Institute. Interesting stuff there, but it's coming from people who want the religious right, who want conservative Christians to have less influence, and they're declaring that it's inevitable. But, you know, you have pointed to an article in the Washington Post and others. The same people were writing the same thing 20 years ago, 25 years ago, and they're still at it.
Well, again, part of what they point out here, and the NPR piece that says the proportion of white Christians in the U.S. has stopped shrinking, I guess they're sort of assuming that all white Christians are conservative Christians. That's not true, is it?
You know, it's not true when you say all, but the amazing thing is that as Robert Putnam at Harvard will demonstrate over and over again, the greatest predictor as to how any American votes who identifies as Christian is whether or not that person attended any church the day the Sunday before the election. There's an overwhelming correlation, and that's what's really interesting, by the way, and even Robert Jones there of PRRI has to remind folks that those who identify with mainline Protestantism still overwhelmingly vote Republican.
Yeah, and they have for a long time. I think Jimmy Carter, he should live and be well and enjoy his 75th anniversary, which actually I think was a touching occasion for
absolutely
almost all Americans. But bless President Carter and Rosalynn, and congratulations and all of that. But wasn't he the last Democratic candidate to be truly competitive with evangelical Christians?
Oh, that's absolutely right. And and you know, of course, he was in 1976, but he wasn't in 1980. And so that really is a huge hinge in American history. The election of Jimmy Carter, even the nomination of Jimmy Carter as a born-again Christian, as he identified in 1976, made the front covers of the Newsweeklies. But 4 years later, those same voters are overwhelmingly joining a rather enduring coalition behind not only the Republican candidate, but more importantly, the conservative convictions of those candidates.
Okay, right now, according to this Public Religion Research Institute survey, which is a survey of 500,000 people, it's large, They claim that the percentage of people who identify as white evangelical Christians has fallen to 14.5%. What I found very difficult to put together is as you know, we know each other for a while, I'm an obsessive reader of exit polls.
Yep.
And the exit polls for 2020 show that 28% of American voters identified themselves as evangelical Christians, white evangelical Christians.
Right.
Could it be possible that that white evangelicals vote in such greater percentages and greater numbers than the public at large to explain this discrepancy, or is it just funny numbers?
No, I think that's an arguable point, but I think the overwhelming issue here is how you define who's who. And you know, if you look at the PRI data, and that's what's behind this all this flurry of recent articles, you know, they identify as evangelicals those who identify themselves as born again. But you know, as central as that is, I think, to evangelical Christianity, you got a lot of people who are likely to say, well, that's not the first word I would use, or there might be something else. And so the reality is that there's no fixed, stable definition of these terms. But as you say, kind of the money is where the votes are. That's where the numbers are. And so exit polling actually shows how people who voted identified themselves. I think you're making a very important point.
Yeah, okay. So right now, I didn't particularly enjoy reading about my friend's challenges at the recent get-together of the Southern Baptist Convention, which is still the largest Protestant Christian religious body in the country. What is the struggle over exactly within SBC and within Baptist circles? How would you describe the essence of that fight?
Yeah, Michael, it's a fair question. I think it's first of all, it's a internal fight in a very conservative part of America, and so it's not any kind of classical liberal conservative fight. But it's over kind of the attitude the convention will take. Some specific issues related to things such as the incursion of critical theory. It has more to do with you know, whether or not I think some of the younger leaders in our convention want to kind of rebrand. But my argument is you're going to have very little success in doing that in trying to meet the demands of the secular left without abandoning conviction. I don't believe they're going to do that. So I think there are some real big issues for us to face, but, you know, it's the quandary of conservative Christianity, or I would say to you, conservative religion in an increasingly secular age. How do we present ourselves to our own neighbors?
And what do we want for our children, which is
absolutely
obviously a key part of the question. The Washington Post, as you saw, defined a church called Mercy Culture as typical of the nation's fastest-growing Christian movement. A quick comment. The Washington Post doesn't seem to be a big fan, but that's not
surprising. No, I'm not either, Michael. And because, I mean, first of all, as you know, the mainstream media like to find weird stuff they can write about. That's the bottom line. You know, these days, you'll find this and say, this is a trend to the future. But the reality is that New Apostolic Reformation, I think, is not a theologically healthy movement, but it and look, they continue to hold up groups like this and say, look how scary they are, Americans, be scared of conservative Christians. That group is not typical of conservative Christianity, and but you know, it's also on the landscape. So but we're looking at something there that I think is likely to be something we're going to want to watch. But, I mean, it's not typical conservative Christianity in America, and they know it.
And if you want to read about some of the best ideas, the freshest and most historically enduring ideas of conservative Christianity and of Western civilization, pick up a copy of Al's book. It's a must-read, The Gathering Storm, Secularism, Culture, and the Church. May your work continue to be blessed, Al. May we get a recovery, all safe from the pandemic and from the pandemic of foolishness that seems to abound at the moment in the United States. We will be right back. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook of me reading every single word of, I think, one of the most important books that's out there right now. And it comes to you together with an MP3 player, so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audio book and hardcover book bundle. This can be an important tool in combating some of the toxic lies about America. A God's Hand on America, Divine Providence in the Modern Era at michaelmedved.com or medvedhistorystore.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow, here to tell you about my Giza Dream bed sheets. I made sure that they would be everything you'd ever want in a sheet set. I started with the world's finest cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all meet. The long staple cotton makes my Giza Dream sheets ultra soft and durable. They come with extra wide pillowcases to fit over any pillow and extra deep pockets to fit over any mattress. Not only that, they come with my 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. I personally guarantee that they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
That's two for one low price, plus free shipping. Call 800-320-6280 or MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVET. That's 800-320-6280. Use the promo code MEDVET for these great radio specials.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more.
800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Serious moment for the United States, a moment of opportunity and a moment of challenge and a moment of controversy about everything. So we haven't been keeping up to date with one of America's most coveted awards, but there's somebody who's actually won several times before who deserves that award right now again. I'm talking, of course, about the Golden Turkey Award.
Bigger than
the Academy Awards.
First and foremost, I'd like to thank God.
Groovier than the Grammys.
I would like to thank my wonderful agent.
And more powerful than the People's Choice.
I would like to share this with every single senator.
Now, it's time for another Golden Turkey Award nomination.
Woo-hoo! Thank you so much!
Okay, this one goes to Beto O'Rourke, and I know that there are a lot of people out there who would prefer to just forget about Beto O'Rourke, but if he keeps churning out quotes like this, you can't forget about him. It's just so profoundly stupid and out of the ballpark and not even worth serious conversation, but certainly worth noting because it should prevent people from supporting him as a candidate for whatever he runs for next. He, of course, was a member of the House of Representatives for a couple of terms. Then he lost to Ted Cruz in a Senate race in Texas. And then Beto, who's from El Paso, ran for president. Now, why you lose a Senate campaign and then, okay, I know, Lincoln did it too. Beto, you're no Lincoln. Because what Beto just said, and he's quoted in the New York Times, a headline in the New York Times, Texas Republicans advance strict voting bill after all-night session. Democrats decry attack on elections, and they put attack in quotes. And this quote from Beto O'Rourke, former U.S. representative and candidate for president, he says, this is the single greatest coordinated attack on democracy in our lifetimes, and perhaps in the life of this country. Getting rid of all-night voting, which is one of the controversial elements of the reform in Texas, is the greatest coordinated attack, greatest single coordinated attack on democracy in our lifetimes and perhaps in the life of this country. And wasn't the Confederacy where 11 states made war against democracy in this country? No, that wasn't bad. It wasn't September 11th where they hit the Pentagon. They were planning to hit the Capitol building, apparently, with Flight 93. Wasn't that one. That wasn't a coordinated attack. It's the Republicans in Texas, including the governor, working. And this is the way the New York Times, again, mainstream media, the voting bills, this is in the Texas legislature, the ones that advanced last night and are going to be passed and are going to become the law of Texas and are not going to make, frankly, that big a difference one way or another. But to call it a coordinated attack on democracy, gee-many. The voting bills would, number one, ban 24-hour voting. Number two, ban drive-through voting sites. It would increase the criminal penalties for election workers who run afoul of regulations. It would limit what assistance could be provided to voters and expand the authority and autonomy of partisan poll watchers, among other provisions. And by the way, those partisan poll watchers, they can be balanced. In other words, it's you can have, you don't have partisan for just representing one side. If you have a Republican poll watchers, there are going to be Democratic poll watchers right beside them. Keep an eye on them. In any event, Governor Abbott of Texas, who has been pushing hard from this, he called a special session. Was on with Chris Wallace on Fox News. And Chris gave him some pretty tough questions about what's going on. This is clip 10A.
You say you want to make it easier to vote. That's going to make it harder to vote. And the question is, why make it harder for some Texans to vote on some Texans? Unless the point is to suppress voting by people of color.
So you mentioned a couple of things that need to be responded to. One, you mentioned how Harris County did this, and it was Harris County alone. And for your viewers, Harris County is where Houston, Texas is located. Now, let's go back to Article 1, Section 4 of the United States Constitution, where it says in there that it is the states not counties, that have the authority to regulate elections. And despite that constitutional mandate, this past election, Harris County, a county, tried to create its own election system that had never been used in the state of Texas. It was not used in other parts of the state of Texas.
Okay, he's talking here about the drive-through, the midnight voting, 24-hour day voting. That's Harris County. And look, it is a completely valid point. Now, do I believe this is the most crucial issue of our time? By no means. But honest to goodness, the Democratic fury of the Washington Post that just reported today. Texas Democratic legislators plan to leave the state to block restrictive voting legislation and other GOP priorities. At least 50 Democrats in the Texas House are planning to leave the state to prevent Republicans from voting on a special session agenda that includes new voting, quote, restrictions. Well, that was Washington Post. They would need to stay out of the state for weeks to prevent a quorum for the 30-day session, which is expected to last until early August. That's wonderful. You remember they did something like this in Wisconsin, and they actually had to arrest some of the members of the Wisconsin Senate. This was when Scott Walker was first elected governor, and he was trying to renegotiate a deal with the unions that represented the state workers. In any event, then it came to this, to Chris Wallace, the second question. This is 10B to Governor Abbott.
Question is, if 24-hour voting worked, why not continue it?
Well, first, I'm going to answer your question specifically, but you need to go back to elections before now, because the same allegations were made when Texas passed a voter ID law, and everyone said the exact same thing. This is going to disenfranchise people of color. It will reduce voting. And the fact of the matter is, after we passed voter ID, we increasingly saw every election cycle more people go vote. It did not make it harder to go vote. It was easier to go vote. And the same thing applies here, and that is, with 24-hour voting, one thing that we want to make sure that we have is integrity in the ballot box system, and we need to have poll watchers and monitors. And candidly, it's hard even for a county to get people to be watching the polls 24 hours a day. We are providing more hours per day for voting to make sure that anybody of any type of background, any type of working situation is going to have the opportunity to go vote.
Okay, and now there's somebody who's facing a life imprisonment for voting illegally, not once but twice, while he was a paroled criminal. We'll get to that, talk about what's going on in Cuba with Humberto Fontova coming right up.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden is focusing on tackling violence today. The president meeting with several city officials from around the country at the White House. They include the mayors of Washington, D.C. and San Jose, along with the Democratic nominee for New York City mayor. When it comes to the increase in crime rates, Republican Congressman from Colorado, Ken Buck, believes it's all due to progressive policies.
These criminals are getting out of prison too fast. And they are not even being detained pending trial, and so they're committing multiple crimes. And the crime rate is going to be a significant issue in the 2022 elections.
That audio courtesy of Fox News. Thousands of Cubans are taking to the streets protesting the nation's communist government. Some of the biggest demonstrations in decades were held in cities across Cuba over the weekend. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I'm proud to say that Humberto Fontova is a friend of the show. I was particularly enthusiastic about one of his previous books, which was called Fidel, Hollywood's Favorite Tyrant, which came out in 2005. His most recent book is The Longest Romance. Sounds heartwarming, doesn't it? It's about the mainstream media and the late, very much unlamented Fidel Castro. So, Humberto, what do I say to you today? Cuba Libre?
Yeah, that would be quite appropriate right now. You know, I wish I could be optimistic about it, but as usual, the world is turning a blind eye, as usual, as has been going on for 62 years. More tragically still, yesterday, the Cuban protesters, well, for the benefit of our listeners, folks, these are the biggest protests, the largest and most widespread protests to have taken place in Cuba since the revolution. In 62 years, they are from one end of the island to the other, and they are, I guess we can say, peaceful for the very simple reason that they can't be anything else, because the Cuban people were disarmed immediately upon Fidel Castro and Che Guevara's ascension to power. But the island is being rocked, and the regime has cut off internet access throughout. So the reports that are coming out are very, very sketchy right now.
I was speaking earlier on the show, Humberto, to Michael Rubin of American Enterprise Institute, who says there are credible reports that there are units of the police and even of the army that are refusing to use violence to clear the streets. Would that be an encouraging sign?
Yeah, I've heard of those, but I haven't seen anything. Any of the bigger wheels. This may be happening. I think it happened locally in a few of the towns in the eastern part of the island. But see, that's what has to happen. And folks, the reason that, I'd love to be more optimistic, but the reason I can't be is, if you remember, for the last couple of years, there were very similar protests. In fact, they were much more violent in Venezuela. Remember? Just last year, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago.
No, of course, and they've also had literally millions of people who've left the country.
Exactly, and you remember, I mean, you saw it on the news, I mean, they were overturning cars, were on fire, this and that and this stuff. Some of the opponents actually had firearms and so forth. Well, what happened? They were never able to flip any of the security, any of the major wheels in the military, in the Venezuelan military, or the Venezuelan security corps, which are controlled, not just controlled, but they were staffed by Cubans. See, in other words, it was the Cuban regime, the Castro regime, that depends upon Venezuelan petroleum for its survival, that snuffed out the Venezuelan rebellion 2 years ago. They did it in place. I mean, it wasn't Cubans controlling. It was Cubans staffing, and they're still staffing the Venezuelan security and military services. Well, you know, since Cuba snuffed out a rebellion in one of its colonies, you know, I'd like to think otherwise, but it's obvious that they're not going to let a rebellion take place at headquarters in Cuba itself, and that they have the means to do it, especially without any outside intervention. And in fact, I just posted this. It's very bitter. I've been very, very bitter today because I said, look, the way that you get help from the U.S., U.S. blood and treasure against a dictatorship, is not the way the Cubans are doing. Cubans are waving U.S. flags, Michael, during their demonstrations. They're waving U.S. flags, very different from the demonstrations you see in the U.S., isn't that? That's not how you do it. What you do is you do what the Iraqis and Afghans do, is you burn U.S. flags. You burn U.S. flags, death to the United States, blah, blah, blah.
Well, no, don't give your compadres any idea. Don't give Cuban people any idea. They seem to have the right idea right now.
Start burning them, and you're going to get in USA, nation building, U.S. jets bombing Castro's building and everything else. Hey, it worked like a charm for the Iraqis, for the Afghans, for the Syrians, and for the Libyans. But
okay,
not
so what
for
do you,
people
what
who
do
actually
you,
love the U.S.
What do you think is the most likely outcome? That basically there's some demonstrations here, and the army holds up its loyalty to the new Caudillo, whose name I always forget, Miguel...
What? Canel, Diaz Canel.
Yeah, I didn't even know whether Raul was alive or dead, but I guess he's still alive right now.
Yeah, he's alive. He handed up. Diaz Canel, as I'm sure you probably know, is just a puppet. He's nothing.
Right.
He's figured. The island is actually run pretty much by Raul, but Raul's getting up there. But Raul's
he's
son,
90.
Alejandro Castro Espin, who is, I believe he's in his early 50s, but he is a KGB-trained colonel in Cuba's security service, and he is a fanatical, like his father, Stalinist. He's the one, and a few of his chums in the military are the ones in the police who run Cuba. You know, they put a nice little Potemkin cover on it. Oh, well, we have a civilian president. No, they don't. He's a puppet. And so these guys are good. And then, again, a KGB-trained colonel is the guy running Cuba, and they're not going to let this thing get out of hand, you know.
Okay, we have just a few moments left to us.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something constructive that President Biden or other American leaders could actually do to support the voices for freedom in the streets?
He could be a little more forceful than he was just about an hour ago. You know, he came out with a platitude that the people that the government, the Cuban government, should listen to the Cubans' people's grievances and so forth. Oh, well, oh, sure. No, but what he should do is re-implement. He really hasn't dismantled much of Trump's Cuba policy. He said he would do it during the campaign, but he hasn't. Many of Trump's policies are still in effect right now regarding Cuba. We need to tighten it, because all of that tourism money and all of the so-called embargo, whenever they loosened embargo, all of those funds ended up in the pockets of the regime, and it still ends up. You have to starve the regime. That's what you've got to do.
Well, let me hope that your pessimism, it may be realism, that proves an understatement of the fervor and the dedication of the people, who seem to be pretty organized in the streets. The last word, do you believe that the COVID-19 crisis and the difficulty in delivering any protection to the Cuban people, has that played a prominent role in why now?
No, it's like I say, there's not enough will. But let's be practical about the U.S. right now. Do you think our average listener right now really cares about what's happening in Cuba? You know, I mean, let's be practical. We've got gas prices going through the roof. We're all worried about our own little bailiwicks, and that's understandable. And I just don't see the American people backing any kind of foreign intervention right now.
That's Umberto Fontova, the author of most recently The Longest Romance, The Mainstream Media, and Fidel Castro. Well, wish you the best personally, and wish certainly freedom and a brighter future for the Cuban people. We will be right back on the Michael Medved Show.
Knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks I started noticing results, and after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone, but the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone, and so therefore my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833 toll-free 654-PAIN, 833-654-PAIN.
Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by Abbvie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
The Michael Medved Show, so many controversies with so much meaning, and they all do have meaning, though I'm having a tough time figuring out the deepest meaning of the controversy that's sending at least 50 members of this Texas legislature into exile. Apparently temporary exile, but it has to be for 30 days. They're trying to shut down the legislature because it's a Republican majority, and the Democrats don't want to go forward with any of the voting changes that the Republicans are talking about, and not because they're so restrictive. The one that the Democrats complained about particularly, Governor Abbott and the legislative leadership in Austin agreed to it. That had to do with the souls to the polls. Remember that? That was the idea that they were going to limit the time of early voting so you couldn't go do early voting on Sunday mornings. And, okay, they were going to go back to a situation where that wouldn't be available. Could go on Sunday afternoons, I believe, but not on Sunday mornings. This apparently ran in the face of a long-standing program to get black voters to the polls called Souls to the Polls, which is that they would hold church services Sunday morning, and then immediately afterward, you get marched right up to cast your vote. Okay, you can still do that. They dropped that from the change in Houston. So now what are they complained about? They're complained about the idea of not being able, in just one county in the state, to have that one county do the all-night voting, 24-hour-a-day polls open. I mean, come on. And again, and Governor Abbott makes a good point. Getting poll watchers to stay up all night for that, to prevent cheating, but cheating never happens, right? We've heard that. Well, there's a Houston gentleman. He's a solid citizen with many convictions. His name is Hervis Rogers, and he committed a felony because he voted twice. Well, okay, there were different elections. It wasn't twice in the same election, but he voted twice while he was on one of his many, many paroles, and you're not supposed to do that. He's looking at a potential of life imprisonment. It's 25 years to life if he's convicted on both counts. and he's looking at $100,000 in bail. This is the way the story is covered on Channel 2 in Houston. Listen.
Dominic, a lot of people showed up here at TSU on Super Tuesday of last year to cast their ballot, but when one of them cast his vote, he did so allegedly illegally.
I want to thank the voters who endured the long lines.
It was March of last year. Voters had turned out at the campus of Texas Southern University for the Democratic primary, and it was a mess. People in line, in some cases, past 1 o'clock in the morning. One of those frustrated voters was Hervis Rogers, who told us at the time he had waited for more than 6 hours.
I want to get my vote in, to voice my opinion, and I wasn't going to let nothing stop me.
The problem, Rogers was a twice convicted felon on parole at that time. It was against the law for him to vote. He's now in jail in Montgomery County, arrested Wednesday. He's facing felony charges for illegal voting and a long prison sentence.
He's twice before been convicted of a felony. That raises his range of punishment up to 25 years to life on each count.
Our fight is not over.
The issue of voter fraud and election rights is center stage at the state capitol this week.
Okay, look, does it seem like it's a pretty tough punishment for a voting irregularity to get 25 years to life? And that's on each count, so it would be 50 years to life imprisonment or 2 lives imprisonment. To claim that voting fraud, voting irregularities don't occur is simply not true. They do. And trying to get in control of them does not involve discrimination against people who can't produce an ID, which is why the overwhelming majority of Democrats, Republicans, everybody favors voter ID. Not Kamala Harris, though. Here's why not, as she explains on Black Entertainment Television, the Vice President of the United States.
Is agreeing to voter ID one of those compromises that you've supported?
I don't think that we should underestimate what that could mean. Because in some people's mind, that means, well, you're going to have to Xerox or photocopy your ID to send it in to prove you are who you are. Well, there are a whole lot of people, especially people who live in rural communities, who don't. There's no Kinko's. There's no Office Max near them. People have to understand that when we're talking about voter ID laws, be clear about who you have in mind and what would be required of them to prove who they are. Of course, people have to prove who they are, but not in a way that makes it almost impossible for them to prove who they are.
Okay, there's a new invention, which is called an iPhone, which generally, my wife informs me, has a camera on it. I mean, you can even deposit funds in a bank using an app. The idea that there are tons and tons of people who can't produce an ID and some kind of certification. And by the way a lot of the states that are requiring IDs have taken a look at this, and I think it's very important and makes a sense that the state will provide you with a special voter card that you can use. They could easily provide you with a couple of copies of it that you send in with your vote if you're sending it in. I mean, it's one's able to do that, I would think. The argument about voting regulations, first of all, it's a state-by-state argument. Every state has a different basis for battle. But the general idea that America could do with some meaningful voting reform, it's obviously the case. And by the way, the main things we should do in terms of voting reform is to make presidential campaigns, in particular, not so exhausting so they take up everybody's life and take up such a fortune and money. Because it's extraordinary. They once tried that. Remember, they were doing federally funded campaigns. But then Barack Obama, when he ran, was the first candidate who said, no, I'm not going to take the federal money because I can raise more money on my own. And now the amounts of money that are being raised by everybody on all sides, and I don't think it does a favor to our country, frankly, to have these savage attack ads that go on all the time. Speaking of savage attacks, there's this news from Chicago, clip 22.
Cities are hurting all across America and New York.
Another violent weekend in Chicago. At least 42 police people have been shot since Friday night, and 10 of them died. Victims include a man who was killed and two women injured near the Cook County Courthouse. Police say two people got out of a car and started shooting just before 9 last night. No one is in custody. And a person was seriously hurt during a shooting on the Stevenson Expressway, and it happened around 1 this morning in the outbound lanes near Pulaski. Illinois State Police say that someone in a passing vehicle started shooting at the victim, and that person ended up crashing into a concrete median. Two other people were in the car when this happened. State Police say that they were not hurt.
Okay. This is craziness. We're going to be speaking with somebody about the crime problem and other problems who knows something about it, not because he perpetrates crimes, but because he prosecuted them very successfully. Chris Christie, the 55th governor of New Jersey, was a very successful federal prosecutor before he went into electoral politics. And now he has a new approach for what he calls Republican rescue. We'll be speaking to Governor Christie coming right up and talking about some of these issues that seem to be polarizing Americans, where there are even commentators who are now saying we should give up any hope of getting together and compromising or bipartisanship. Just let's have it out. One side wins, one side loses. Where does Governor Christie stand? We will get to that and much more in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-391-8713. 800-391-8713. That's 800-391-8713.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.